On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Beautiful day for a radio show. FM News Talk time. It's 10:06 and we just hit 80 degrees in Reno. I'm John Potter, live and local. We have two injury crashes on 80 at this moment. The first one in Fernley. This is on westbound 80. And it says here that this is at mile marker number 53. And if memory serves me, well, I don't remember. It's in Fernley, a injury crash out there. And there's another one in Wadsworth. That's on 80 at Wadsworth at the moment. Multi-agent, this is from Channel 8, and I think the other stations carried it. Okay, the other one, yeah, I don't want to blow by this. This is exit 31. There's a crash, injury crash on 80, exit or mile marker 31, and that is going westbound from the Wadsworth area. Well, not really Wadsworth. 31, I think, is like a little bit before USA Parkway. I think that's where that is. So if you're coming, folks, from out east through there, I hear it's tied up there. The one at 53, that is, that's around, no, not quite Nightingale. But anyway, troopers are on it. That's the one. No, that's the one they say is in Fernley. They say Fernley, but that's they mean the trooper district is answering that one. Anyway, kind of ties in with that. The story about the multi-agency I-80 enforcement operation, this is new, and it's targeting truck safety. California Highway Patrol officers and Nevada State Police troopers have partnered on a coordinated commercial vehicle enforcement operation along I-80, a key freight corridor linking the two states. CHP commercial vehicle enforcement teams join Nevada State Police to reduce crashes and identify safety risks before they become road hazards. Every safety risk except illegal immigrant drivers. No, they won't say that, of course. The story says officials said inspections and enforcement would concentrate on issues that can lead to serious incidents, including brake, tires, mechanical failures, and unsafe equipment. No mention of the drivers. The agency said the shared goal is to prevent crashes, keep traffic moving, and help everybody reach their destination safely. Do you think they put this together because of this increase in truck crashes involving, and not just here, nationwide, involving illegal aliens with CDLs? There's a recent story of a trooper in another state who was run down and killed by an illegal alien out of, I think, Haiti, who had been given a commercial driver's license by the state of Massachusetts. And, you know, many other states likewise will issue commercial driver's licenses to people who are illegal aliens. Recent federal audits conducted by the U.S. Department of Transportation have explicitly named several states for actively granting CDLs to individuals without verified legal presence. One of the biggest one is right across the state line. California, a major issuer, with state policies previously allowing commercial licensing under temporary statuses. A federal crackdown forced the cancellation of, oh my God, over 17,000 California issued CDLs. You can Google this. I did. This is research that came up here, and this is from the agencies. And you know, if you ask people, show me a list of illegal aliens who got in a bad truck wreck with their commercial driver's licenses, the list is not a short one. And you know, you can have whatever views you want to have on immigration, but it would seem like your thoughts and attitudes about highway safety, those would be consistent across all philosophical boundaries. No one should be opposed to highway safety. Competent, qualified people barreling down the interstate, we want them to be squared away. We want competent drivers. We want the basic requirements of a commercial driver's license to include the ability to read and write in English. And I'm not saying that these people are malicious. I believe that they often have inadequate training, and I think you need to be able to speak English. You need to be able to figure out, you know, that sign on the bridge, that it's this many feet and this many inches tall. How many feet and how many inches tall is my truck? Foreign drivers are on our roads all the time, and they do a lot of good, and they're a great benefit to our economy and our society. But passing out licenses to illegals who unavoidably cannot meet the standards, it is not one of their rights to have that CDL. Now, locally, let's talk locally. Is it just me or you too? It seems like every week, sometimes two a week, like we have this week, we had two overturned semi-trucks, a third nearby in California. One was in Carson City at the end of 580 at South Carson Street and 50. And ever since that cement truck overturned, could have crushed a lot of cars. I'm amazed nobody was injured in this. Ever since that, and it took like a day to get that truck back up on its wheels. And that's an incredibly busy intersection. But they haven't said much about that crash since. And I can't assume what went wrong with that one. I can't imagine how it happened. How does that happen? You as a truck driver, you have a lane shift. If you're turning right, there are overhead signs ahead. Here comes the intersection. And what before that, you have a lower speed limit sign. None of those things are secretive or hidden away. They're purposefully obvious. Lots of orange warning signs, dividers, and all that stuff as you're blowing down the road. And the truck ended up into twisted metal. As I said, it could have been a whole lot worse. Could have, like, if it couldn't stop, just run over a car in front of it at the light. But it's like one of those things where you want to go to this driver and say, what the hell were you thinking or doing? How did you not see this? And one thing further is, you have this deal where bridges, we have railroad overpasses of a certain height for decades and decades, and no truck drivers ran into those overpasses. Very rare. You know, back then we had tall trucks, and we have short overpasses in a lot of areas. We had competent, intelligent truck drivers, and we didn't have the trucks driving into these overpasses because of how tall the truck is, or the driver not getting what those numbers mean, or knowing some very simple rules of physics. And lately, there's been a noted increase in the number of truck drivers, and you're going to nod your head when I say this, who get stuck on the small roundabout by the Sparks Marina. There's Sierra Sids, the big truck stop next to Western Village. And from Sierra Sids, the truckers have this exit on Nichols Boulevard with the gate. And they get out of the gate, they turn right there, and they get stuck at this roundabout near the Sparks Marina, directly next to Western Village. And I was told that there are times when it happens weekly. Yeah, the truck yard has signs at the gate as you, the truck driver, are driving out, but they either miss the sign, which is hard to do, it's kind of noticeable, or they can't read it in English, and whack, they get stuck on the roundabout, which, to be fair, if you look at the roundabout, you know it cannot handle a trailer truck. It looks like it's made to handle a Spark car or a VW Bug. That one on a regular basis, over and over again, what once rarely happened, a very occasional comic experience, now has become steady and almost regular. I don't know whether it's because everybody's addicted to their GPS. I don't know whether it's because we're scraping the bottom of the barrel and we're just hiring more absent-minded people. But it's a fact that many truck drivers now are foreign-born people. And that again, doesn't mean they're bad. Many of the foreign-born truck drivers are honorable, intelligent, good folks. But some of them aren't. And again, some of the foreign-born truck drivers aren't even in this country legally. But whatever it is, this level of increased incompetence behind the wheels of these big rigs unavoidably translates into more accidents. Now, the stats say big rigs are 10% of all vehicles on our road, yet they're in 20% of our fatal accidents. And with continued incompetence among some in this once noble profession, that's going to create increased danger for you and me and our families. And then it won't be some funny story on the news about somebody stuck under a bridge or on the roundabout. It'll be some heartbreaking story about some incompetent truck driver killed a family like yours and mine. You know, kind of close to my heart, because growing up, we take these trips in the family car. Believe it or not, kids, families would get in the car every Sunday and just drive. No destination in mind. Maybe going out to find a place for a picnic. And the big rig guys would honk their horn and wave as we passed them and such, you know, when I was a kid. Truck drivers were heroes, right? And the country western music. There were several songs that came out in those days, you know, the 60s and the 70s, where truck drivers were the protagonists. They were the heroes of the songs, and they were always decent, strong, capable people. There was an ethic of the road, and I believe that was real. I absolutely do. I met people like that. I had an uncle who was a truck driver, idolized him. I wanted to be a truck driver as late as junior year in high school. I told my mom that was my decision to be a truck driver. And mom cried. So, true story. And so I dropped that idea fast after that. And there used to be on the radio a long, long time ago, in the overnight, something called the Trucking Bozo Show. And this was a guy out of Cincinnati, Dale Summers. Wonderful person. God bless his memory. I loved him like crazy. He would stay up all night and he would do a radio show beaming on one of these big 50,000 watt radio stations, kind of like this one here. And you could pick it up at night over like about half of the United States. And he would play some old country music and he would give the weather reports and he'd do the trucking news and he'd take calls from truckers going down the road, you know, seeing what they were carrying and where the Smokies were and such like that. And the way he would talk to callers one-to-one, so personal, friendly, and down home, and it was wonderful. It really was. You know, people sometimes ask me, what inspired your broadcasting style? What made you want to choose TV, radio, the media for your career? Yes, it was the Trucking Bozo. Really, trucking back then was a culture. It was an ethic. And they were the cowboys of our day. So what kid didn't want to be one of them? There was an honor to the whole undertaking, to the whole profession. And it just doesn't seem to be that way as much anymore. And don't I say this about too many things. I'm John Potter, live and local, phone number 884-9910. Going to take a break, be right back, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1020.
Is FM Talk. There is...
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. Let's check the texts. You know what? I'm always afraid to do this, but here we go. John, The Odyssey has a one-eyed cyclops? A one-eyed cyclops as opposed to the less common two-eyed cyclops? Ha, ha, ha. Well, okay. Thank you for catching that. Craig and I were talking about movies, and was it Derek? And we were talking about that movie, The Odyssey, and I'm all gung-ho to see it, except I thought that the one-eyed cyclops was just too much fantasy for me, and that's what's keeping me away from it. But thanks to our genius, intelligent, well-schooled listeners, they caught me with a grammar mistake. Grammar me important to me, and I do appreciate that. Next text, John, my wife and I, we were talking to Derek about where to watch the World Cup. John, my wife and I recommend Chihuahua's, a Mexican restaurant, which for me, any big sports event is a wonderful place to go. Very nice booths, game specials, and in front of you have this line of big screens, very nice and comfortable. It's on South Virginia by Bistro 7. John, my wife and I went to Chihuahua's to watch the American team play Belgium in the World Cup. Did not see you there. You are right. They have good TVs, but you should warn people about the pounding beat and loud bass line in the music that they play there. I didn't notice that. Okay. Well, maybe for certain events. It wasn't on those football Sundays, I'll tell you that. Okay, here we go. Jeff is good. Let's see what this says. John, somebody should put a camera on that roundabout you're talking about. Sparks by Western Village, yeah, Sparks Marina. There is a YouTube channel of a bridge with a low clearance. The guy who made the YouTube channel has his office down the road with a clear view of this bridge. He set up a camera in his office window, and you can watch trucks one after another getting stuck under this low-clearance bridge. Some of them peel the top right off the trailer like opening a sardine can. Okay, there's some notorious, extremely low overhead railroad bridge crossings. Oh my gosh, I know it's far away, but Wendover has a real treat in store. A lot of these rural Nevada exits, you'll see them. Okay, John, 6 days on the road, and I'm going to see my baby tonight, eastbound and down from Smokey and the Band, White Line Fever Convoy. He's truck and bozo talk.
Yeah, well, he's Jeff. Once or suggested we intro the next segment of the show with one of these songs, since you're talking about the roundabout.
Actually, Craig, I think we should go full out truck and bozo show on this. I think, okay, it's not at night, but there are truckers on the road at this moment, and I'm fully amenable to converting this to a truck and bozo show. I think it would be a big... We don't have a truck and bozo show on the radio anymore. Well, you tell Jerry.
I've never heard of truck and bozo.
Oh, shut up. he was great. And, you know, I'm serious. That's what made me get into TV and radio, the truck and bozo show. One more news story. The new City Hall parking garage proposed for the capital city got another push ahead by a vote of 4-3. The Carson City Board of Supervisors went ahead. This thing is this metropolis of government buildings is getting closer, folks. They approved drafting a lease purchase agreement for the new city government headquarters. It's not just going to be City Hall. They're going to have all these offices. Agencies fit in this monstrous building behind the Carson Nugget. The mayor says property tax money will not pay for the new $30 million or more. It's definitely or more City Hall in Carson City. Most of the funding comes from redevelopment funds. And then selling the current City Hall will help pay for the new parking garage next door. Carson City says it's growing. And they need additional staff and space. Already expansions are needed and proposed for for the Juvenile Detention Center and the courthouse. All of this, Carson City, this is the line here they're crossing. It's not going to be the small capital city anymore. This is it. People say, I've heard people say, and it's really not true, that Nevada has the smallest capital city in the nation. No, it's Montpelier, Vermont. Our population in Carson City is 55,000 people in the city. Now, Carson City at this meeting said that their population just crossed 60,000. So that's believable. But I want to say all this vibrant growth in downtown Carson City, and still the Ormsby House sits empty, forlorn, alone. Doesn't anyone see a use for this building? No, really, somebody has the idea to use the Ormsby House. I propose the world's biggest wiener schnitzel, but crickets. Oh, anyway, got a break for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft. And up next, we're scheduled to talk to an upcoming performer at the Carson Nugget, comedian. That should be fun. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk, time 10:30.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Current temperature in Reno, 81 degrees. On the phone, appearing at the Carson City Nugget, two shows next Saturday. Hello, Alex Elkin.
Hey, what do you say, John? Good to hear from you again, man.
Hey, we have talked before, Alex?
I don't know.
No.
It's just a nice thing to say. What do you want from me, man?
It's a nice thing to say, yeah. You are a different type of comedian, and every picture I've seen of you on your website, online, everywhere, looks like you're in mid-rant. Is that kind of... You look like a lunatic, Alex. Is that the kind of delivery that people can expect at the Carson City Nugget, my friend?
Hey, what a great opening. Thanks a lot, man. I'm a total lunatic. I don't know if that's exactly how I describe my comedy. I don't know if I'm lunacy. I do separate myself from a lot of the comics nowadays, and I don't have purple hair and a nose ring, and I don't really think that, we should be trans and kids or anything like that. So maybe I am a little different than the regular crew out there. What I try to focus on is getting laughs, and that's what I do when I get on stage.
Well, you have a lot of material to work with. You recently moved. Oh, this has got to be a gold mine of material here. You moved from Oregon to Tennessee. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I finally escaped the People's Republic of Eugene, got out of the Pacific Northwest, and moved into a place where they got some common sense. It's incredible. I really enjoy it. Friendly Pacific neighbors, and got a little 3-acre farm. I'm running chickens and raising babies, man. I love it. Just the American dream.
What is this? Speaking of babies, what is this? You wrote a book or something. It's called something like Stepping on Babies. What? Explain.
Yeah, great research, John. That's my name of my comedy special that I did through Open Bar Comedy. It's Dry Bar Does Clean, Open Bar Does Whatever You Want. So Stepping on Babies was a comedy special I did. That was one of the jokes that I got in there. So that's where you get that.
Well, I got to hear the joke about stepping on babies, my friend.
Well, I don't know. I'm not like your
hard to explain.
joke. I don't do jokey jokes. Where it's just So it's kind of a story that goes along with my experiences. So if you guys want to hear about it, come out to the show by all means.
You just got my curiosity. That's all. When somebody says stepping on baby, all right. Well, we'll talk about the shows. What are we going to see, Alex?
So this is the first iteration, I guess, that they're trying out. They're doing conspiracy comedy, a comedy conspiracy, where I guess we're just going to go out there and we're going to talk about the things that you know, people have been talking about and some of the taboo stuff that's not really allowed to be talked about. And so we're going to open up some worms and we'll see if we can't catch some fish.
Oh, you've got to give this up. What is what's your die on this hill conspiracy theory?
All right, look, I get a lot of blowback on this, but here's the fact of the matter. The Paul McCartney we know today is not Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney died in a car accident in 1966. MI5 decided to go ahead and replace him, and we have been living with a counterfeit Paul McCartney ever since he passed away in that car accident. Now, that's not to say that this new Paul McCartney, whoever he actually is not one of the geniuses of the musical world and gave us some of the best hits that we've seen in our generation, but he is not Paul McCartney.
You're serious about that, right?
I'm absolutely serious about
that. You're this. A comedian. Okay. Well, I thought it was John Lennon that wasn't the real John Lennon there.
No, Lennon was real. He was a real prick, but he was
well,
real.
Well, that's good to know. Okay. So how much of the show is conspiracy theory and how much are your very funny stories that you tell?
That's a great thing about comedy, man. We're going to intertwine them, and so you're not even going to realize you're listening to conspiracy theories because you're going to be laughing so hard. We got the very talented Ali Breen joining me from Fox News. I'm going to be out there. It's going to be a great time. It's two shows, so you got two chances to catch us. But the night before, we're going to have a celebrity dinner. If you want to hear the real inside dope, get your tickets to come out to that, have a good wine tasting, get a great meal, and then we'll come out to the show and really show you a good time.
Yeah, I saw that on ccnugget.com. They have a page. Folks, go to ccnugget.com. You click entertainment, and it comes up there. And there's this very special dinner with you and a very small group of people. And the price, I don't remember what the price was, but I thought, wow, just for the dinner itself, that's extremely inexpensive. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, you got local winemakers coming out, bringing out some of their best stuff, and I don't know what's on the menu. But you know, if we're going into conspiracies, I'm hoping it's going to be something endangered. I want to try a spotted owl with a side of dolphin.
This is on Facebook. I think you wrote this. We got to keep this under wraps, but there's comedy conspiracy happening at the Carson Nugget July. Next Saturday?
25th, two shows. Next Saturday. 25th, 25th.
Okay. Two shows. I'm going to be there, but don't tell. Well, very exclusive news that we get that you're going to be there hosting two shows at the Carson Nugget. Your website says you dissect the challenges of parenting, like the chaos that ensues when trying to get kids ready for school and a family vacation gone wrong. Alex Elkin is not afraid of anything wrong happening on a cruise excursion. So right there, I'm dying to hear about these three things on stage. But the man is not going to give it up. Get your tickets next Saturday, two shows. They're usually 6 and 8. Alex, have you been to Nevada before or Carson City before?
Oh, yeah. I love coming back there. It's a beautiful city. And hopefully it's going to cool down a little bit by the time I get there. Man, I don't do well in the heat. My body is like a giant onion sitting on two turkey legs. So unless you want to see my shirt looking like Tammy Faye blew her nose on it, let's get that sunshine a little lower, huh?
And I do like calling Oregon the Pacific Northwest. Very good, sir. Very good. Anything else, Alex, you'd like to say to our audience before you come down here to Carson City next Saturday?
Listen, you got a lot of opportunities to do whatever you want on Saturday night, but this one is really unique. You're going to regret it if you don't make it out. I guarantee you're going to have a great time. You know, just make the choice. You know what your life is without it. Come see what your life is going to be after it.
Bravo, my friend. Bravo. Thank you, Alex. Alex, comedian appearing, Alex Elkin at the Carson City Nugget. Alex, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. And have yourself a great VIP dinner that folks can get in on right now, ccnugget.com. Thank you, Alex.
Can't wait to get some succulent dolphin into my mouth. Come follow me at Elk Comedy. That's ELK Comedy. Anywhere, all over the place. Facey Spacey, Twitter Twatter, the Instagram, all that place. So come find me and see what I'm all about.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John
Potter here, live and local till noon. And up next, local chef who is hosting his annual dinner for first responders. We're going to be talking restaurants and food up next, and maybe some giveaways. I don't know. That's up next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1044.
Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
So, Craig, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you know Jerry has a private chef?
No, I did not know that.
This Chef Mark has been Jerry's private chef.
It's been a while.
Well, yeah, but I can't imagine the things he would have you cook for him. He's a wild man. All sorts of
a lot
weird,
of wild game.
Wild game.
That's what I specialize in.
Craig, should we make fun of Jerry from now on for having a private chef?
No, not at all.
Okay, it's time to skip the
talk. And just full disclosure, Chef Mark is my chef as well. He brings me lunch once in a while.
That's right.
You did bring me some dish a couple of years ago.
I did. I take care of everybody who takes care of me.
All right. Well, I guess I got to take care of you better, huh?
That way when I open my big restaurant and everybody's going to know how good my food is.
Is that the plan, really?
No, I'm going to launch a $99 burger here pretty soon.
Okay.
It's going to blow this place away.
Chef Mark is hosting, again, Chef Mark's annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner. It is coming up July. Oh, my gosh. This is also coming up next Saturday, July 25th at 6 p.m. It's at the American Legion, 877 Ralston in Reno. So tell us about the fifth annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner. Tell us what's going to be there.
Well, you know, we got to feed those heroes that are running towards the danger while everybody's running in the opposite direction. And we're going to have Sonic Rewind as a band. Clifton Smith's going to do a little piano playing right at the beginning of dinner, and then the band will come on about 7:30, and we're going to have some great food. Royal India's helping us with some food. Maria's Mexican restaurant. I'm doing grilled salmon with lemon dill cream sauce.
Is this all buffet style, or?
It's going to be buffet style this year.
Wow!
It's always been dinner service, but
yeah.
It's hard to get a lot of volunteers, you know.
Well I co-hosted a couple of times, and folks, this is like a old-fashioned dinner club like they used to have, like dinner theater.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, that's what it's like. And in the early years when you had this, most of the people showing up were first responders. And it's kind of shifted to people who want to support the first responders. What, they bring donations and things like that?
Well, everything's free, but we do have a raffle and a silent auction, and we sell raffle tickets. Mm-hmm. And first prize this year on the grand prize raffle is 3 hours at Reno Tahoe Limousines. Second prize is a 5-course steak and lobster dinner, candlelight, prepared by me in your home. And third prize is a photographic aerial drone.
How did this all begin? Why first responders? Did they save you for some...
Well, it's funny because in 2020, I was watching the thing up in, I was on Channel 2 with Michaela Hardy last year, and I was watching the Oregon protests where people took over the town, and they were blocking it all out, and somebody got shot in there, and the paramedics were trying to get in to save somebody's life, and they were getting blocked and shot at. And
where was this again?
In Oregon, Portland, Oregon.
Oh, one of those... Black Lives Matter protest?
It was, actually, and it just hit me hard. It was like, these people are going in and trying to save somebody's life. They have families, they have wives, they have children. Sometimes they don't go, they're getting shot at, they're risking their lives. It's just, it just hit me hard. I felt that we had to do something and get the community together and show them that we totally appreciate them, and this is my way of showing it.
I can't think of any organized thank you that is done.
Well, the funny thing,
for first responders.
The funny, it's not funny thing, but the second annual party was 2022, April 9th, actually on my daughter's birthday. April 11th, I was returning some equipment I had borrowed out in Verde, and I was driving out there, and I got on the highway to come back in. I just dropped my Doberman off at home an hour ago, and I was in my mom's two-wheel drive car, and I got on the highway, and I was coming into town right before the highway patrol station. I hit ice, and I started spinning around, and I lost control, and I was heading backwards. I flipped over in the middle three times and landed in the westbound lanes. I broke six of my ribs, fractured my collarbone, punctured my lung, crushed my vertebrae, went into Renown, had lung surgery, got MRSA in my blood from the hospital, and contracted a spinal infection I still have today. I've been on antibiotics for 4 years. But when the paramedics and firemen showed up at the scene, and one of them yelled out, "Chef Mark, don't worry, we got you. Dinner was great Saturday night." And they were at my dinner, and that hit me pretty
good
hard.
Good Lord, Chef. Yeah. What is in the raffle and silent auction?
Like I said,
what goodies?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff. Starbucks donated, Galaxy Theater donated. We have Tractor Supply put in some stuff. We're still going through a couple other businesses that we still have to pick up. Next week's going to be a big week, just picking up stuff and everything. There's going to be a lot of prizes. So there's going to be a smaller raffle and then a large grand prize raffle, which I told you about.
You because I've been there, you put an incredible, I think it's just you putting this all together.
Well, and I got a lot of help. My assistant, Annie, she's been great, but her car just broke down. So now we're trying to get her car fixed today. It's supposed to be done so she can run around and pick up stuff for me because I moved down to Carson City now. And I don't know.
You moved to Carson City.
Yeah, I like it down there.
Oh, well, give us a tip. I mean, you're a real foodie. You've been a chef. Now, you were chef at the Mustang Ranch.
I was a chef at the Mustang Ranch.
We're going to talk stories about you being the chef at the Mustang Ranch after...
I was the hooker cooker.
The hooker cooker is here, folks.
That's right.
But Carson City, being a foodie that you are, what restaurant do you swear by in Carson City?
There's a Greek restaurant, and they're actually also donating the romaine lettuce for our Caesar salad. But it's called Bella Vita,
Bella Vita, I think that's Reno, isn't it?
I don't know if they have one in Reno, but they have two down in Carson City.
Is it Italian?
It's Greek.
Oh, it's Greek. I'm sorry. Huh. Yeah, and that's good, huh?
I believe that's the name of it.
All right.
But, oh, yeah, it's a good restaurant.
I had the most amazing meal, Chef. We went to see The Sound of Music, and we went to Wild River Grill. And
oh, well, on the river?
The meatloaf. I'm not even a meatloaf guy. I just got it because I was tired of always having their hamburger. But the meatloaf, incredible, Chef. There was like mushroom in it, and it came with the most awesome mashed potatoes and asparagus on it.
It was a dinner?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
I just had meatloaf the other night, actually. My roommate made it.
Yeah, I could talk forever about meatloaf now. I'm a big fan. But this dinner, folks, it's for the heroes that run toward the danger while everybody else is running in the opposite direction, or even worse, and this is a real pet peeve of mine, Chef. Did everybody see the video, I think it was at Yellowstone, of the bison throwing around the old guy? He's in his 70s. It's been all over the internet and the entertainment shows. I think it was even on the network. Yeah, it was on the network nightly. Do you see it, Chef?
I didn't see it.
Bison comes up in this campground and takes this old guy who's trying to hide behind a tree in his horns, and he throws the guy way up in the air, and he falls down. Okay, this whole thing, because the old guy's running around, running away from the bison, so it's taken like a minute of this chase. And the thing that pissed me off more than anything is there was a guy there who photographed this whole video. without putting down the effing phone
and
coming over to distract the bison. And even worse than that, they all the morning network shows interviewed the guy who took the video.
That's crazy. It's happening all over the place, too, in different
well,
situations.
Well, it was like they're giving him all the publicity he wanted in the first place. Bad behavior. We're going to be back after Fox News. 99.1 FM Talk. It's 10. Oh, I have another minute, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have another minute.
That bump on the head from being thrown by the bison is...
Shut up. Okay, so... All right, folks, you have questions, or actually, I would like to ask the question. Folks, what was the last great meal you had in a restaurant? Everybody is constantly asking. We have so many people who moved here. They want to know this information, but we'll also hit on Chef Mark's 5th annual First Responders Appreciation Dinner and all the great things that are there. But we're going to be talking food, my favorite topic, and we'll be back shortly after Fox News, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 10:58.